What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Track Talk Podcast. We are your hosts, Emma and Hannah, and we are back with the first Track Talk doubleheader of the year. That, if you don't know, is a Formula One race and an IndyCar race in the same weekend. And we did have both. A bit unfortunate for both, I will say, but we did have it.
We had him. I would,
Yeah.
you know what? I was going to say, would it count as a triple header because we had a sprint race too? But I don't think that qualifies as a triple header.
Did you watch a sprint race live?
No, I did not. Did you?
Wait, I did watch it. I did watch it live because it was on at like a decent time. But I think we decided that a triple header was
An
recordability included. Yeah.
actual race. That's fair.
Yeah. But I mean, we technically did watch three races this weekend. So maybe it is. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm trying to get to, you want to chat IndyCar or F1 first?
Let's do F1 first. I will say before recording, Emma and I both just admitted that we're both having bad days. So I hope that nothing we are a little more negative is like held against us.
Yeah, we'll keep the energy high and up. We'll do our best. I'm honestly great mood. I think Lance had a decent weekend. And by that I mean he finished the race. Like, do you know what I mean? I did have a dream last night though that jumping ahead. Because the race was on at 2 o'clock in the fucking morning for us. And so passed out right after. And in my dream, I know Lance did not get a podium. Like in real life, I know he didn't. But in my dream, he got second and I missed the race. Like I wasn't watching it live in my dream. And I found out after the fact that he got second. And like in my dream, I woke up and I got so many texts and so many messages being like, stroll, like strodium or like whatever we fucking call it. I don't know if we call it anything. And I got so excited when I actually woke up because I was just like, oh my God, Lance got a podium. And instead, Ferrari's disqualified. And I was
Right.
like, okay, not how I
Right.
wanted to wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So backtrack. I will say on the Lance Stroll thing, when Fernando Alonso had to retire, I did have a text written out about to send to the fan app group chat. And then I was like, better not. It said, I mean, whatever, I'll just say it.
Just say
It
it.
said, I suppose if Lance's teammate doesn't finish every race, there's really no pressure on Lance because there is like, I feel like for Lance, he's in like a diff, he's like an interesting situation where like no one really compares him to the rest of the grid, honestly. They compare him to his teammate because of the car. And that is the way, like that all teams are compared against the other because that's the only person in like equal machinery. We've heard that, but I do feel like there's like Max versus Lando and like these other rivalries, and I feel like there is nothing with Lance.
Lance has no rivalry except
Right.
everyone in the world against him and him.
Right.
And
Right.
but
So
yeah,
like
but no,
yeah.
like you're right. Like he's only ever compared to like his teammate and how Alonso is performing. And so I'm just gonna say it, Lance has technically outperformed Fernando in these last few races. Like
No, technically he has. And that's where I was going with that was like, no. If he just doesn't finish any race,
Lance is on
there's
top.
zero
Like
pressure on Lance. Lance is technically the number one driver.
Lance is technically the number one driver at Aston Martin. Like that's a sentence no one would ever expect anyone to say.
I think lots of people would argue that Lance is probably the number one driver at Aston, but yeah, I don't know where I stand on that.
Anyway.
Yeah. We can back it up. Let's back it up to
Sprint.
sprint qualifying, which was the only session of the weekend that I actually did not watch live. But I don't think there was really much that went on in that session other than Lewis takes pole very narrowly from Max to start the sprint race on pole.
Yeah,
Did you watch that session?
I did. Yeah, I found like the two main points from that was Lewis on pole, Liam
Yeah.
Lawson unfortunately down in P20, starting the
Right,
sprint
right.
back of the grid.
Yeah.
Unfortunate for Red Bull, but for Ferrari, like I feel like it made us all feel like this is their weekend, like especially in the sprint too. Like fast forward, Lewis won the sprint. And so him having pole position, converting that into an actual win, we were like, this is our weekend. Ferrari's gonna be on top. And unfortunately, that just like wasn't the case. But it was a great start to the race weekend in China because like Lewis, I don't think Lewis has ever won a sprint before.
Well, I was gonna say, so sprint races came into effect this will be the third season, I believe,
It says
or the fourth.
it was introduced in 2021. So I think there were only like three or four in that year. And now we
Okay, so
have
there
like
just wasn't that
six.
many, because that was a dominant season for Lewis, so maybe there just wasn't that many of them. Okay. Got it. Well, good for him. I'm obviously happy because I'm a Tifosi, and I mean, you called it in our puppy interview. You said that Lewis was going to be the first Ferrari driver to get a podium this year.
I have a question. Do you count that as like an actual win? Because we had this conversation when Oscar won a sprint race
When
before
Oscar did it.
Lando did, and everyone was like, Oscar won a race before Lando did. Like, Oscar's a better driver. And I was like, that's not technically a podium. Like, that's really not indicative of the race
Yeah.
performance, the car performance, driver performance. Like, it's just a quick, it's a sprint. Like, I personally don't see it as like an actual win, an actual podium. Yes, something incredibly, like you should be proud of it. Like, still a challenge. You're still racing. But I don't, what I said in the interview was like, Lewis Hamilton is going to win his first win. I didn't mean like sprint win. I mean like win, like podium race win.
You didn't say that. You said that Lewis will get
No,
the first podium.
that's what I mean though.
Okay.
That's what I
Okay.
meant. Like, I don't count a sprint race as an actual race win.
Right. And I think I hold a different idea for both, because it would have been Oscar's first F1 win, I don't count it as a win, because that's not how I would want anyone to get their first win. And I don't count this as Lewis's first win with Ferrari. But I will say, in terms of Ferrari's season beginning and the idea of like which Ferrari driver will have success first, Lewis did that with the sprint race. I think that's where I like stand on it. Yeah, I don't think it's like his first race win with Ferrari, because it's not.
Not really a race. It's half a race.
Yeah. Barely even half a race, but yeah. Okay, so we've got sprint, quali, the sprint race. I was bored. Again, I'm calling for somebody, anybody to do something about sprint races.
I will say what I like about sprint races is like it's pretty much like they go all out for that those laps, right? And so it was nice to see Liam Lawson work his way up. Like I think he ended up finishing like P14, starting P20. Like he made some decent passes. Unfortunate that it could not really transfer over to the rest of the weekend, but anyway.
Oh, I do want to say, on sprint quali and sprint race, I do want to shout out Isaac Hajar having a beautiful response to what happened last week and furthering our sentiment that we think that that'll light a fire under him.
100% what you said. Like you're like he's gonna use this and he's gonna come out swinging. Like
Yeah.
one of the qualies, I don't know which one it was, but like seeing him and Yuki like at the top or
Yeah,
like in the
it
top
was sprint quali.
five.
They were like 3 and 4, I think.
Yeah.
He's my driver of the weekend, Isaac is. Also, because I saw a video of him before the F1 Academy race going over to Red Bull Racing, has a new F1 Academy driver this year. I can't remember her name. Let me pull it up. And he was taking a photo with her. Like,
Oh,
he was like selfie, like she was in the car. And I was like, oh, fuck, I love this.
he's just like he's so pure and like wholesome. I
Yeah.
just want to protect him. Like I wish the absolute best for Isaac Hadjar and everything that he does.
It's Alicia Palmowski. And yes, she is new with the Red Bull Racing F1 Academy team this year. So that was like the one thing that I was like, oh my God, I like love this, and I wish that more of these guys. And I don't know, maybe they did. This is one clip that I saw, but you don't see too often these guys supporting the F1 Academy drivers, but also like they have that race is before theirs, so they also have like stuff to do before then. So I don't know. I just was like, so cute.
I freaking love the rookies. Like
Me
they're
too.
I love that we have so many rookies on the grid. Like
And
really.
already we're getting like good sound bites at the beginning of the season.
I love them so much. I hope they're all
Speaking of
like,
sound.
I hope they're all best friends. I hope they all just like, I hope they have a group chat. I hope they call it something stupid. And I just hope that, what do you think the
I
group
hope they
chat name would
call
be called?
it. I hope they call it Max's children.
Do you think Alonzo's
They're
in the?
all acting like Max's
I know.
children.
Do you think Alonzo's in the group chat? Do you think they have a second group chat with the rookies plus Alonzo?
I think they added him to the initial one and he left.
Fernando Alonso has left the chat. Like,
Think they added him and Kimmy and Ollie were like, "Welcome to the rookie group chat. We're so happy to have you." And then he didn't say anything and left.
absolutely. Absolutely. I could see that. Oh my
Oh,
God.
wait, I have something to say before we're talking about sound bites. So my sister has taken an ex she's going through her like DTS phase without watching DTS because she doesn't have the time or brain power to sit down and watch a TV show. She doesn't watch TV. But she's becoming obsessed with motorsports and she now knows like the funny soundbite stuff. So I've been talking, she actually woke up and watched the whole race last night at 2 a.m. too.
Did she really?
Yeah, and like you guys, my sister did not give a fuck about motorsports until literally Indy
Nashville.
Nashville. Yeah, didn't give a fuck. Like, thought I was weird. We used to say I was embarrassing. Like, look, I love her. She's my sister, whatever. But yeah. Anyways, she calls me last night and she goes, "Ice latte." I'm like, "What?" She's like, "Ice latte." And if you know my sister, she perseverates on certain things. And I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" She's like, "Ice latte, like Yuki." I was like, "What are you saying?" I guess he did an interview after his finish at Australia. Well, it was on the radio message, actually. And he was like, "Oh, yeah, it was the ice latte. It helped me today." And he doesn't say ice latte with his accent. It sounds like ice latte. And she's like, "That's hilarious. Like, Yuki's my favorite, like ice latte." I'm like, "Okay."
That's what got her. That's the what she picks up
Yes.
on.
So she loves Yuki and she loves Kimi. I knew she would. And then she loves George Russell. So I think she's a Mercedes girl, honestly.
No, that's fair. That makes sense. Speaking of Kimmy, we chatted about it over text, but
Oh, yeah.
we're not gonna like go into full detail, but just for like we need you guys to validate or like us. We
Yeah.
think that he is like a mix of young Harry Styles and Jeremiah from
Summer I Turn
Summer
Pretty.
I Turn Pretty. Like he has that look to him. Anyway, if you understand what we're talking about, can you please back us up? Because
Yeah,
that's
he's got a like a young Harry Styles vibe to me. And then when you said mixed Jeremiah, I was like, yes. So yeah.
absolutely.
Hopefully you see it
Hopefully.
too.
Anyway,
Okay, now we can move on.
now we can move on to quali. I'm not gonna lie, my heart kind of like, oh, sorry, continue.
Sorry, I did take my chicken nuggets out of the oven, but I forgot to turn the oven off. So just one
Go
second.
turn the oven off. I'm not gonna lie. Again, we talked about it last week. I am rooting for Liam Lawson, and so seeing him P20, like that's just it. Okay, who was I talking to? I feel like I was talking to a coworker or maybe a friend. I honestly have no idea, but we were talking about just the Red Bull in general. And there was something that came out, and I wish I could cite it properly, but it came out that like the Red Bull is at capacity. Like they cannot do anything else to that car to make it any better. Like they're at 100%. It's been at 100% probably for like the last 2 years. Like we've always called the Red Bull a rocket. But I actually don't think that's the case anymore. And I think like they were just ahead of the game for so long. And now all these other teams are catching up. And so like they're now on the same quote unquote like playing field because the Red Bull, they're like, we literally can't do anything else to this car. Like it's already where it's supposed to be. Anyway, that's just a thought that I had. Which makes sense.
They were just ahead of their time. I think that
Yeah.
makes sense. But there were re new regulations that came into effect shortly after that 2023 season, right? Like last year, we had new regulations.
No, we don't get new regulations, and it's like every 4 years. And so we'd be getting 2026, 2022, we got new regulations.
2022, we got new regulations. Got it. Okay, so then forget what I was going to say, but what I will say is that Liam's qualifying performance, though, was due to a deleted lap time. So
Yes.
that is a little bit more out of his control. Obviously, like he has to keep the car on the track, but it's not necessarily a car performance issue or like a driver issue. It was like it just was a deleted lap time because of track limits, which a lot of people were facing track limit issues actually. So like it wasn't just Liam.
No, you're right.
Wait, back to this sprint, really, really short snippet. I know I'm bad today. Did you see Jack Doohan and Gabby ended up spinning out into one another. I actually don't know even who made the initial contact.
Yeah.
But so Jack has the pink car and Gabriel Bortoleto has the green car, and they spun and their noses were kind of like touching. And I saw someone make a wicked meme of the two cars. I'm gonna give credit where credit is due because genius.
I thought you were gonna go for like Fairly Odd Parents thing there, but the
That too.
wicked I need to see this now.
Rookied so hard, they recreated the Wicked poster, and this was posted by F1 Yap with Knock, Noch. Yeah, Notch. And there's the look, they actually made the Wicked poster.
Oh my God,
Like,
that's so good.
yeah, so funny. Sorry, that just came to my mind. And that was something about the sprint that I wanted to bring up. But
Okay.
going back to qualifying, bad weekend for Alpine.
Bad weekend for Alpine. I feel like Alex Albon is the number one driver at Williams. How do you
Well,
feel about that?
he's been there a little bit longer,
That's
so
fair.
there's that. There's that going for him.
Like he made it into
Carlos had a good qualifying.
P15. Like he made it out of Q1, but then he didn't make it out of Q2.
Maybe no. I meant Carlos had a good race.
Oh, Carlos had a good race, absolutely. But I was
Yeah.
like, qualifying, he's
I was like, qualifying?
bam, slid
Actually,
by.
no, he didn't. But they look. Double Williams points, double Haas points. What is going on? I
I
know
know.
I had double Ferrari disqualification. We're not going to talk about it. Look at my wall of red. Like, I can't bring it up. But wow.
I know. Well, I feel like I saw a photo that said, like, I don't know exactly how many points Williams is at right now. I'll take a look. Williams, they're at 17 points. They're fourth in the standing right now, but I feel like what they had 17 points all of last season, maybe.
Yeah,
Like
maybe. Well, yeah.
it
Like
took me.
Sargeant put up nothing. Franco kind of did. Alex barely.
And now
Yeah.
they're second race and they've matched, if not hasn't had gone over what they made or finished with last year.
And
Like,
Haas definitely must have done that too.
Well, I mean, I don't love Haas, but I feel like you gotta give him credit where credit is due. Like, they weren't shit last year. They weren't the best. But do you know what I mean? And so, like, when we said it in like the puppy interview I did, I was like, I think Haas is probably gonna be like topping the midfield. But now I feel like Williams might actually be there because, like, also, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the standings right now and I did not realize that Williams and Ferrari were tied. And I get it, it's only the second race, but that's still kind of throwing me off that they both have 17 points. I had no idea.
Yeah. I am kicking
Oh.
myself for saying that I thought V-Car would be the top midfield car. I mean, maybe it'll come out and actually be a hot take, but like, I love Williams. Like, why didn't I say Williams? But whatever.
Why didn't you say that?
I don't know. But yeah, I do feel like you are so hesitant with Haas for some reason. It's the same way I'm hesitant with Aston Martin. Like, but I think with Haas, we do have to remember that like, it was only last year that Günther got fired. That they promoted their new head principal, whose name is escaping me. He had worked within the team, but he became team principal. He wants to do things very differently than Günther had done previously. So maybe it was like a transition year, and then they new blood. Like maybe Kevin and Nico just it just wasn't gonna work. I don't know. They're both talented, but I think maybe they just needed a new dynamic in that team, and maybe things are different right now. And they have Esteban,
Clearly,
who
yeah.
experienced, and yeah, and Ollie, who's like really eager to learn.
No, I think it is a good lineup. I think again, I don't think they'll finish the season off last. Like I think I have faith in Haas, but you're right, I am hesitant because I'm just like, I don't know, question mark. Like, whatever, we'll see. Back to the race.
We haven't even started the race yet.
We
Don't
haven't
worry,
even
we're still
started the
on
race yet.
the calling.
We have no, sorry, we're just talking about qualifying. We haven't finished qualifying. Piastri P1. He's never gotten pole before, hey?
Really?
Yeah, apparently never ever started in pole position before. It
Wow,
was his
okay.
first, yeah. I know. There's a photo, it's actually really adorable, of Lando being really excited for Oscar, which I thought was really sweet. And but now, okay, I don't know who said it in a group chat or if it was FanAmp, but again, we're only two races in. It's so hard to tell how the rest of the season is gonna go. But with qualifying and with last race and like knowing how this race ended with McLaren 1-2, do you see this as like a start of, or do you think the season is just gonna be like McLaren dominance?
I hesitate to answer that because in 2022, Charles and Ferrari came out flying, and Charles won the first two races, won the first race, and then I don't remember. It's escaping me now, but I remember at the beginning of that season thinking, oh, I am a Ferrari fan, but I really don't want to see someone win. Like for the entire season. Like, I don't want that. And jokes on fucking me. That's the season that Max ended up winning his second World Drivers Championship. And he pretty much ended that year and then went into 2023 with that record-breaking season of however many wins he had in a row. So I don't want to go there yet, I don't think. But potentially, I don't know. But then they, you know what? Then they need to figure out who they're going to prioritize. That's the thing.
That, yeah, no, absolutely. Like, obviously, it was Oscar this weekend, Lando, it was
Right.
last weekend. But, like, what if your drivers are starting P4, P5? Like,
Right.
and that's when we had that conversation last week where they're like, we were like, they don't know what they're doing. Like, they actually have no idea what they're doing.
No, they don't. You're right. Yeah.
They don't. I don't know. I feel like they just roll a dice, game a chance.
I know. And I. Like, I don't know what to tell them. Like, are they just gonna go based on qualifying and then like let them
Whoever,
duke
like, yeah, like whoever finishes higher or like or has a higher starting position
Yeah.
gets priority. But I'm like, that is not sustainable as like a strategy for the rest of the
Yeah.
season. I don't know. And again, I know we're only two races in, but I also don't want to just see McLaren dominance. But I mean, I also am a McLaren fan. Like, I love Lando. If he gets his world championship win this year, like, I'm on board for that. But I get last year was so good though because we had so many races where like there
Yeah.
it was just good. You know what I mean? People just like the race. People like not knowing what's gonna happen. And so if this season starts off the way like 2023 started off, we're gonna get bored. And then we're only gonna care about the midfield.
I'm gonna say something. I if it comes down to like Red Bull M McLaren, like a not I don't know it. If it comes down to Max versus the McLaren driver for a world driver champion this year, I want Max to win again. I just want it to be close.
Yeah, well, you like Max.
Yeah. Okay.
You
I didn't know how you're going to take that.
well, I'm not surprised.
Okay.
Like, I think I'd be
I
more
don't.
surprised if you said I want Lando to win a championship. I'd be like, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah, like I
Like,
would be happy for Lando, but I just Max is so talented. I just want him to continue. I want the season to be competitive, but I want him to just continue like cementing himself into like one of the greats. Because I feel like there are a few drivers that have won four, but like once you win five, like that does put you into another stratosphere. So I don't know. Anyways. This is very early on. And as I posted on the Track Talk story this morning, as far as I'm concerned, the season starts in Japan in 2 weeks. So I don't know.
yeah, we could talk about the race. I mean, going into qualifying, I'd say like another, or finishing up with qualifying, like seeing Isaac and Antonelli, like Kimi Antonelli finish where they started. I'm so sorry, they started P7 and P8. I love it. Like, I think I'm not a huge Mercedes fan, but I'm rooting for Kimi. Like, I'm rooting for these rookies. Like, I want them to do well. And so seeing them And also seeing Isaac have a higher starting position than Yuki, I was like, that makes me feel good. Do you ever wonder? Okay, so this is how my mind works. If I were Isaac right now, seeing that I'm starting P7, my teammate starting P9, we got Liam Lawson starting P20, I feel like Isaac for a split second might be like, put me in the Red Bull seat. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
You think he went from out on the formation lap to put me in Red Bull Racing?
that's how my mind would work. I would look down that grid and be like, I'm ahead of these other two Red Bull drivers. Put me in the Red Bull seat.
Look,
Not that I think Isaac deserves that Red Bull seat, and like that's not where this conversation is going, but that's how my mind works, and so I want to know if that's how his mind works.
I don't know. I have talked to, well, we have talked to multiple drivers. We've interviewed multiple drivers, not one, but in IndyCar and other series and whatnot. And there's a central theme with drivers where many of them have said, like, you have to believe that you are the best driver in the world to go out there every weekend and do what you have to do. And that has stuck with me because I like finding ways to like manufacture confidence. So maybe that is like what you have to think though to like get yourself prepared for a race weekend and build confidence. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, no, I agree. Speaking of being one of the best drivers in the world, what did Alex Albon say on his radio message? It made me
Oh my
want
God, he said,
to cry.
I'm good. It's okay. I'm much better than everybody else.
I'm good. I'm better than everyone. Let's relax. I'm very comfortable. I love that man. I'm better than
Me too.
everyone. Let's relax.
Happy birthday too, also.
Is it his birthday?
Yeah, it was his birthday.
Oh, I didn't
Well,
know
I guess
that.
in China it's no longer, but yeah.
Oh my God, happy birthday, Alex. Like that is gonna be my, what is it? Your daily like
Affirmation.
affirmation. I'm gonna look in the mirror every morning and say, I'm good, I'm better than everyone, let's do this. Let's relax. Like that is so I Charles' radio message from last week was pretty good,
Yeah.
but the sheer confidence and just like not giving a fuck mindset that Alex had. I love it. Anyway, I just needed to get that out there before I forgot. I freaking
No,
love
but
Alex
I think
Albon.
that this is a strategy that Williams is using because you had James in the off season saying that wait, did he not say that he thinks that Williams is going to be better than Ferrari?
James said that, but William himself actually said no. Carlos, isn't there a driver with the name William on the grid? George William Russell, that's it. The man with three first names. Anyway, off topic, I'm sorry. Carlos, and I feel like Alex, but mostly Carlos is not confident in like William's ability to like be running with the top 10. But James, 100%, you're right. Like he said, we're gonna be fighting Ferrari
Yeah, which is
out
actually
there,
happening.
which is really happening.
I don't want to talk about it, but maybe this is what Williams is doing though. They're just like they're choosing a positive mindset. They're choosing to manufacture confidence and manifestation, and I love that for them.
And it's working. It's
Working.
absolutely working.
Yeah, maybe Carlos needs to hop on the trend because he's the one who had a bad qualifying position.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? They finished in the points, double points,
Yes, yeah.
for Williams, but right off the bat, like for the race, again, I watched this at a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. The bar was closing, also. I just
I
want
was
to
going
point
to
that
say,
out.
bars close at 2 a.m.
Bar was definitely closing. But I asked the bartender, I was like, I just need to wash these first laps and then I will get out of your hair. Like, and so thankfully they put it on, which was very nice of them. But it was Oscar had a great start. So I feel like already got one up on Lando because it's his first pole position. Didn't lose any positions. Whereas Lando, how many pole positions did it take for him to like get his shit together?
Yeah.
Anyway, but then Lando made such a beautiful move on Russell, like, and to like get that second place position like immediately within that first lap, I don't know. I was like, yeah, McLaren's on one this year. Like they're on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. The start was clean. It was fine. We didn't really have any issues actually until, well, I didn't see it at first, but that is when Lewis and Charles did come together, and Charles ended up losing the end plate on his front wing.
But it made him faster, question mark?
Yes, maybe, but it also maybe put him underweight. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. At the end of the day,
Sorry. Where are you going with this?
I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm glad if I'm glad that both Ferraris were disqualified if Charles had to be disqualified, because that would have sucked. His teammate, no, I don't like it was a racing incident, but it was Lewis's fault at the end. Well, I don't know actually if I want to say that, but it was a collision between the two that caused the front wing to get damaged. So because he was underweight by exactly 1 kilogram, which I can only assume was the weight of the end cap thing, I'm not happy for any of it, but maybe it all worked out the way it was supposed to.
Why was Lewis disqualified?
He was disqualified because of an issue with what they were calling it. I don't remember. It was
Skid block
the
breach.
real question is why was Pierre disqualified? I don't think anyone has taken 2 seconds to figure out why Pierre was disqualified because he wasn't in the points and it wasn't a Ferrari.
Pierre Gasly was hit with the same disqualification for the same breach as Leclerc, underweight.
Okay. Skid block, that's what it's called.
I said skid block like 20 seconds ago.
You did?
I think so, unless I just thought it.
I don't know. I don't think you said it out loud. Maybe you did though.
You let me know when you're editing if I said skid block or not.
Yeah, it says
Oh, it's
that.
that thing. It's that freaking wood block panel underneath the car. We talked about it last season. And if it's too low, or it's like essentially, okay, how do I fucking. Okay, let's restart. So there's that wooden block, skid block underneath the car, and if you it can't go below a certain height
Thickness.
thickness, thank you. And so if it's constantly hitting the bottom of the track, like it's gonna scrape off some of the freaking millimeters or whatever. And so it's probably millimeters that it was
Yeah, it
hurt
was
by.
measured at 8.6 millimeters, and it needs to be 9 millimeters.
The team acknowledged there were no mitigating circumstances and it was a genuine error by the team. That's what they said. Yeah, and I guess Charles and Pierre were underweight. Don't really care about Pierre being underweight. Shitty for Charles, though.
Yeah. I think it's just because like Pierre, it didn't affect anything. Like he didn't finish in the points. So it didn't really matter. But yeah, 3 disqualifications is kind of wild, especially in the second race of the year.
Yeah.
So
And a DNF from Fernando
yes.
because early on he did have someone reported that his brake was on fire, but then I kind of panicked because he was like, I have no brakes, which
Yeah.
terrifying. I feel like if you're a race car driver to not have brakes.
Yeah. Well, initially someone in the Phantom chat was like, there's fire.
I didn't see it and I went back and looked and I don't know if it was just my broadcast, but I didn't see anything.
I didn't see it either. Mind you, it was 2 a.m. and I don't really know what I was seeing, but I don't remember seeing fire, but I don't think Caitlin saw it either while we were chatting.
Yeah.
But then they were like, then of course we saw it, but someone else was like, oh, that you can't say that you saw fire in China because that brings me back to last year. Remember when the
The
grass just
grass
like
was on fire.
was lit on fire, or it just
That was, I forgot about that. The grass was
Yeah.
literally on fire. We, what did you name the podcast episode? Like, damn, that grass was fire. I feel like that's what she named it. That was
My
good.
God, I
You were
did.
so proud of that one. That
That's some of my best work,
was
actually.
good. That
Damn,
was
that
pretty
grass is fire,
good.
bro. Oh, excuse me while I just laugh at myself.
I was like getting my hopes up for a good chunk of the race because I think I forgot that pit stops were a thing when I was watching it because I was like, Lance Stroll, P3. Lance Stroll, like he was like P3, P4, P5 for like a hot minute. And I was like, stop the count. This is perfect. Maybe that's why I had a dream where he got podium.
Maybe.
But then I was texting Michaela and she was like, you know, he hasn't pit yet, right? And I was like, I'm gonna go off myself. Like I forgot that he still has to pit. It's okay. He still finished in the points. We still got Loinz. Finished P9. But you know what? I don't. I Kate here. I think next year is Aston Martin's year. I think we just have to get out of this season, and next year will be better.
Okay. I mean, anything can happen. It's the Adrian Newey effect.
Exactly.
I will say that I had the same inkling when Alex Albon was running in first. You know what's actually crazy? I don't remember the stat off the top of my head now, but Williams has not led a race in like a long time.
Probably like 20 years.
In like a long time. I
Like,
actually don't remember the stat off the top of my head now.
it's
But it said that
been a time.
Alex running in P1 for Williams, it's been a long time since that
It's
happened.
been a hot minute.
Because George was second at Spa when he was with Williams behind Max. So they've run second and finished a race, quote unquote, finished a race because it was behind a safety car. But to run first in actual race conditions, it has not happened in a long time. So
Good job,
good.
Alex. He ended up finishing P6. Oh, I'm sorry, P7. Still amazing finish for Albon. I will say Lance eventually did pit. He ended up finishing P9. I was confused with Lawson. Like, he was on a different pit strategy than Max. I feel like he's like the guinea pig. Do you know what I mean? I feel like if you're in the second seat, you're a guinea pig for sure. For what's best for Max. Anyway, but he granted there were, well, I mean, at this point, I guess there's only one DNF. So he worked his way up from P19 to and end up finishing P12, which does say a lot about him. Like, he does have decent passes. Just shitty that he started so far back. I'm so sorry, I'm yawning. And I will say, again, to my point about Isaac Hajar, probably wondering if he should be in the Red Bull, he did finish above Liam, P11, and Yuki. Who ended up finishing like P,
Was it seven?
this is like post qualification or post
Post
disqualification. I'm
disqual.
looking at this.
He finished.
Whatever. He finished
No.
essentially last.
Oh, post disqual. Oh, 16th. Yes, he was essentially last. Yes, you're right.
So if I was Isaac Hajar right now, might be wondering if I should be in that Red Bull seat.
Okay. Let's wrap up the race chatter and then let's talk about the seat because I don't want to talk about the seat, but there's already talk about the fucking seat. The race. Oscar won.
He wrapped up. We're done.
After all that. Well,
After all that.
we talked about what happened, different movers and different people. Kimi Antonelli got driver of the day. Finished, started P8 and finished P8. I thought that was kind of an interesting choice, but I'm happy for him
Thank
nonetheless.
you. I was a little confused by that too. I don't know why he got driver of the day.
He was confused too. If you heard his radio message, Toto comes on and says, "You're driver of the day," and he says, "Me?" So, yeah, he was also confused. I think the people just love Kimi, honestly.
I yeah, honestly, but I just kind of, okay. Thank you for bringing that up because I was really confused when I saw it and I was like, what did he do?
Yeah, no, I mean, he just was consistent, I think. Other than that, like, so yeah, we had the two McLarens and George. George, sneaky, just consistent race. Like, he didn't do too much, he didn't do too little. He just hung in there and he performed well and he finished ahead of Max. And it was great for him. So, yeah, go, George. Then Max, and then Esteban, which is wild. Then Kimi, Alex, Ollie, Lance, and then Carlos, which I thought it was funny that the two Ferrari disqualifications promoted Carlos to get his first point at Williams, but you know.
That's a funny little ironic moment.
Little just like a little thing to note. But okay. Do you feel like we've chatted enough about the race?
Yeah, I think so. I want to talk about that Red Bull seat.
Yeah. Well, actually, we don't want to talk about it.
No, I don't want to talk about it. I'm so over talking about this Red Bull seat. I was over talking about it halfway through last season, like halfway through last year.
But people can't stop talking about it is the problem.
It's there are so many other story points that we can talk about in
I
Formula
know.
One.
I
Give
know.
let okay, it's been two races. Give him a fucking chance. We said this last week again. Like, we're not that
Yeah.
car. We know that car is set up for Max. Liam Lawson, anyone in that second seat has like already enough hurdles that they have to jump over.
Right.
But now apparently there's talk about that now he has three races. It's like that whole conversation again where he has to prove himself. And now
Well,
there's talk about
yeah.
Franco coming in, being on loan from Alpine. Did you see that?
I didn't see that,
And I
no.
was like, where?
What I saw was that Yuki would be potentially promoted ahead of Japan, which is wild.
If Yuki's in that second Red Bull seat, he's going to have a difficult time. And then Liam's going to outperform Yuki in that V carb. And we're going to
Right.
be in the exact same position we were start of the season. That second seat. Okay, here's the issue. I'm just okay. The problem is,
Use your words carefully.
I know. Okay.
Okay, I'll can I start?
Yeah, you start.
It was perpetuated again this weekend by who asked Christian after qualifying? Christian did an interview after qualifying and he was it? Was who was who said it? And they said, "You didn't pay off Checo for this, I'm sure." And I'm like, oh, okay. So, whoa, this is after quali. I'm like, we're already talking about that decision. That's crazy. Then came the race, and then the comments after. I think you've collected yourself, so I'll let you take it all now.
Okay, Red Bull, unfortunately, I feel like they don't understand that they need both cars to win the championship, but that car is only set up for Max. And so they're setting themselves up to fail because they don't have a car that's just good for the team, that's good for the drivers. And so anyone in that second seat right now, I think, would fail because it is a difficult fucking car to drive. Checo had troubles with it last year. We know, like, even past seasons, like with past regulations, like Alex, Pierre, like they all struggled in it. We know Liam's struggling in it right now, but it's the fact that the car is designed for one driver instead of trying to like maximize its abilities to better the team. Like they're not going to win a championship if you technically have one working car. Is like how I'm gonna put it. Does that make sense? Like, I don't
I know
think.
what you're saying. I think you're making a little bit of an overgeneralization because I
Probably.
listened to an Alex Albon interview this week actually where he said, so you're right. He said that in terms of the front end of the car, Max likes it to be set up very specific. And he explained it by saying like, you know, when you're playing like a video game and you set your settings up to like the max amount of sensitivity so that yeah, so that the second that you move an inch, you feel it. And he said that's how Max likes his front end set up. And Alex said that he didn't necessarily like that sensitive of a setup. So he had a different he did like you are able to, while the car is set up a certain way and it's always been about their front end, you are able to like make modifications for your drivers. But you're right, like it is set up with the understanding that Max knows how to drive it and knows how to manipulate the settings to his liking. And then Alex said that makes you think, well, I should, as the second driver, well, I should now set my settings to how Max has his because it works for him clearly. And he said, but it's a different driving style. So not only now is your sensitivity higher, your oversteer is much higher, but you now are uncomfortable because that's not your style of driving. So and I'm not necessarily doing the best job of explaining it, but he put it really like in layman's terms about like the setup of the car and how, yes, it's set up for Max, but there are obviously modifications, we know that, that can be made by certain drivers. But the fact that these drivers see Max doing well makes them want to set their car up exactly like his. And I do think that Red Bull realized last year that they do need two cars, because I think that's why that is why they sacked Checo. They lost the constructors for the first time in 3 years, and they said no, like that we don't want to go through that again. So we want someone more competent in the seat. And I just wonder, what I wonder though, Emma, is like how much work do they do with the second driver? That's what I wonder. Like, how much work do they put into making them comfortable in their setup?
Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know.
No, who knows? I just like I'm thinking about McLaren, and McLaren when they were like, I mean, McLaren's been around for a hot minute, but when they brought Lando in, and then eventually when they brought Oscar in, like they were still developing the car in the team, and so the drivers could work alongside and like really all contribute to creating what is now a very dominant car. Right now, Red Bull just has a dominant car, and it's hard to like, there's no input that Liam can give, or like, there's no, like, how do you grow alongside the team when the team's already at, like, you're, I don't know how to explain it. I'm so sorry. Like, my words are all over the place, but like, I feel like anyone in that second seat, what Liam or not, could be Yuki. Bring Franco in there. Doesn't matter. It's set up to fail. Like, you can't. That I don't know, and maybe it'll be different next year with the regulations, who knows, but as of right now, where that Red Bull car is, it's not for a team, it's for Max, is how I see it.
I
Anyway.
mean, yeah, it works for Max. It doesn't work for everybody. And to have an effective team and to make sure that you're fighting for constructors, you have to make sure that your car is appropriate for both of your drivers, not
So
just one of
wouldn't
them.
Red Bull take a step back and be like, maybe we should change some things on the car to make sure that it's that other people can drive it, other people in the seat can drive it. If Yuki goes in that seat, he's gonna have a hard time. Absolutely. I don't
But here's
hear.
the thing, like Red Bull does testing with their drivers beforehand to make sure they can handle it. We saw it on Drive to Survive. Liam's putting up lap times that rival Max's or very close off Max's times in testing. So like they don't just throw a driver in and they're like, learn it. Like they do testing to make sure that it's going to be a good fit. So I don't know if maybe the car just changes so much between like testing at the end or the beginning of the season and then like actually like race trim. But I don't. We don't know though,
I
Emma. Like we
know.
don't know what they do behind closed doors. And you know that they have engineering meetings. You know that the driver is giving feedback. I'm sure Liam is giving feedback about like what is or is not working for him. And it's just historically a difficult car to maneuver. We've seen it with now three teammates of Max's. So now, but I am seeing the conversation shift more. It's less about Liam. A lot of conversation I'm seeing is less about Liam and more about, Kate, what is it that Red Bull is doing that's not working for their second driver? So that's good at least. But then I saw Yuki give an interview. Actually, you know what? I actually didn't see Yuki give the interview. I saw Liam respond to it. And I'm hoping that this is all factually accurate because it just seems a bit wild,
What was it? What are
but
you talking
I
about?
guess Yuki said, I am ready to hop into the Red Bull Racing seat, like as soon as they need me. And Liam responded and said, again, I'm hoping this is factually accurate. I can't find where I originally saw it, but it said something like, I've raced alongside Yuki and VCarb, and we've raced alongside one another in feeder series, and I've consistently beat him. So something like, I'm not concerned about like what words Yuki has to say about the seat. It sucks. Can't imagine how Liam feels. I think if I was Liam, I'd be like, you guys, like, holy fuck, give me a second here. But unfortunately, the chatter has begun, so he has to answer in some way or another, and that's, I guess, when he was asked about it, I guess that is the answer that he chose to give. I did find what I was looking for. Yuki was asked on Saturday after qualifying if he would like to drive it as soon as the next race in Japan. I don't know who asked him that. And it be meaning the Red Bull Racing car. And he said, 100%, I mean, the car is faster. Liam was asked about those comments. And it says, Liam was dismissive when Tsunoda's 100% comment was put to him on Sunday. He can say whatever he wants, Lawson said. I've raced him for years, raced him in the junior categories, and beat him. So I didn't make it up. It's out there. But what do you expect Yuki to say, though?
Like, oh no, thank you. I'm actually okay in B car,
Well,
but
thank you. I'll
everybody
stay
wants
here.
to see.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I
No,
don't
that's a
think
good
that.
point. Like, obviously Yuki's gonna say like he's ready for Red Bull.
Right.
Like, yeah, you
And
can't.
obviously Liam's gonna say like, no, I'm here to stay. Because like, what's he gonna say? Like, oh yeah, if Yuki wants it, he can have it. No, like,
Like, no, absolutely not.
do I wish none of it was a rhetoric at all or a storyline? Because like you said, there's so many great storylines at the start of the season already. Yes. Is it unfortunately won already? Unfortunately, yes. We will monitor it, but we think it's ridiculous. We will now move on. IndyCar and thermal. I also was feeling FOMO. I was like, man, I was texting Caroline. I'm like, I hope you're having the best time. She's like, yeah, it's much different though, like this year than last year. Cause last year there really wasn't spectators at all. So she's like, it's much different. And then the rate, I mean, the guy, we knew last year, like the drivers didn't like that track. I feel like I also don't like that track.
It's a long track.
It's long.
I didn't realize like there weren't even that many laps, but then I felt like okay, we have to be like halfway done by now, and I'm like we're at lap 8 out of 42. I was like, what's
Felt
happening?
like it took forever.
I was like, oh my God, this track is actually insane. And to be fair, it's Thermal Club. It's like it's a club is what it is. Like it's like a motorsports club. You pay whoever wants to, like you pay to be a member, and then you have access to that track. And like it's not necessarily for like specific setups. Like I think it's just like an intricate track for people to just use. Like it's not supposed to be like a actual racetrack. Do you know what I mean? And like we get that as well with like there's not really that much area for spectators because it's a club. It's not
Yeah.
a racetrack. So
Yeah. I wonder, I don't know, like I wonder if they'll think this over because yeah, like I even asked Caroline, like, is there spectators? And she was like, well, you're either VIP or you're GA, which is like not great for like a race
no.
event. And that makes sense to me though, because there was like hardly any grandstands. But yeah, the track is it is designed, like you said, for like multimillionaires to drive their fancy cars, and that's great. But it is very flat. Like there's no elevation to it, which a lot of drivers enjoy that. It is punishing. And by that I mean the gravel traps are everywhere. And it's hard, obviously, once you hit the gravel. But and it's just kind of like a boring track. I don't know.
No, it is. It
Yeah.
really is. And like,
So. Yeah. I don't know. And like, yeah, like you want IndyCar to be accessible. That's been the goal. And I just don't know if this track necessarily is super accessible for like the spectators. So
not
I don't know.
really.
Maybe they'll think about it. Maybe I mean, the drivers had lots to say about it last year. I'm sure they will bring any concerns, any and all concerns, to the forefront this year too.
Aaron McLaren's first front row lockout ever in
Oh.
IndyCar. So we had Pato Award and then Christian Lundgaard, P2. Sorry, it took me a minute. I was like, what was the stat that it was? Because I know it was something to be proud of. So I honestly like Christian Lundgaard is doing surprisingly well in that Aero McLaren. Like I knew he was a good driver. He's had like a pretty good track record. Like he's won a race before. But I think he's just got like a new level of confidence, like being in that Aero McLaren, like being alongside Pato and Nolan. Like, I think they have a really good team, truly. So, but it's still kind of weird because I'm like, oh, right, Christian Lundgaard is racing for Aero McLaren. Like, sometimes I still take a second and I'm like, where is he?
Yeah, the only other qualifying storyline was that it was the worst Penske qualifying since 2021.
It was the worst Penske qualifying ever. I was so mad. Not ever, but for me, ever. I was literally so mad. I was like, watching it. Like I like Penske. So seeing how low and how shit those three drivers were starting, I was like, what's the point of even watching this race tomorrow? I did
Yeah.
watch it, but
Will moved up a lot at the race, so I don't know.
because
Scott
Will's
had,
amazing. I love Will.
anyways, as for qualifying, those are really the two storylines that I had. The final one that I'll say, maybe you have something else to add, is just that Rossi is definitely getting the most of the ECR, and I love that for him. And Rossi, we know he's talented, like we know that, but we don't know about the car, so.
I don't know if it was during qualifying or if it was during the race, but James Hinchcliffe, man, he was talking. I don't remember what it was, but he's
Oh,
commentator, right? The pineapple on pizza bit. Did you
the
hear it?
pineapple on the pizza. Well, it flashed three facts about Rossi. It said your dream dinner date, and he said Jennifer Lawrence. It said favorite pizza topping, and he said pineapple. And it said one more thing. Shit, I'm gonna forget now. But I was like, oh, Rossi, like.
But James saying he's like, this man is one of my best friends. I've been in his wedding. He was at my wedding. We have a podcast together. I did not know that he liked pineapple on pizza. And now I have to rethink our entire friendship. Like,
Yeah.
that's what he said. I was like, you know what? So real. That's so
Yeah.
real.
I mean,
Anyway.
I like pineapple on pizza, so I will
Do you
say,
actually?
yep. Ham pineapple is my favorite, so I will say nothing. But Emma and James, one and the same, rethinking their podcast relationships.
Rethink podcast. Do you actually?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You're just saying that.
No, I'm not. You can ask anybody in my life.
Okay, let's move on.
I just, when my family orders, when I'm at home and my family orders pizza, they don't get it for me though, because I'm the only one that likes it. And even when I'm with Cam, like he will eat it, but like it's not, he doesn't really want it. So if I really want a good ham and pineapple pizza, I'll have to order it for myself,
Oh
which I live by
no.
myself now, so no one's stopping me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay, let's move on to the race. I feel
Yeah,
like
we've been talking
we're
for a hot
taking.
minute.
I know.
Not too much happened. Like, it wasn't like a crazy race, but there were like a few incidents for sure. I want to talk about Devlin DeFrancesco and Scotty
Yeah,
Mac.
that's my first note too, is before the green flag even flew, you have Devlin going into Scotty Mac. I
Some
don't.
people say it's Scotty Mac's fault. I think it was Devlin's fault watching it
So did IndyCar.
because Devlin got a drive-through penalty.
Yes.
Like, anyway, Devlin after the race.
Well, it looks like Scotty Mac went over to Devlin's pit stand because it looked like it was an RLL pit stand.
Yeah.
So Scotty Mac definitely went over to talk to him, and I don't think that Devlin took that very well at all.
No. So if you haven't seen it, it's kind of it is circulating a little bit on social media, but Devlin like full on attack mode, like was just yelling at Scotty Mac, complaining, and Scotty Mac was like, "You got the drive-through penalty. Like,
Yeah.
show me the video. Like, it's not like clearly Scotty Mac knows he's not in the wrong." Devlin did not take it very well and was just like, really just letting all of his anger out on Scott.
Oh my God, yeah, all of his anger. Yeah. It
It was just I honestly embarrassing.
was, I thought so too. And
I think it's I honestly think it was embarrassing because it's like you quite literally got the penalty. Like
Right.
you are at fault here. Why are you now blaming someone else? And like I just was like I was like just
Which,
stop talking.
like, I do wonder, like, why Scotty Mac did go over there in the first place, because, like, he knows that, like, it was ruled in his favor through IndyCar that like he was not at fault, Devlin was at fault. So I do want to know like why he went over there, but I also just maybe customary. I know like a lot of drivers do like to talk things out. I just don't know if like Scotty Mac was going to get the desired response by doing that. But we held the same sentiment last year when Kirkwood went or Ferrucci went at Kirkwood. It's the same thing. We held the same sentiment. We thought that was embarrassing. I think this is embarrassing. Like you have to have. There is a respect between these drivers because there's only 27 or 26 others that like do what you do in that moment. And there is a certain respect for like what you put yourself through to get there. So like usually these conversations, while probably heated, are more civil. This was not civil.
No, not at all. I'm sorry. No,
And like
not at all.
again, like Devlin's like, "Oh, I'll show you the video. I'll show you the video." Scotty Mac's like, "I don't have to see it. Like you got a drive-through penalty." Like the
Whatever.
decision was made by somebody else. It wasn't, it was
Wasn't
ruled
labeled a
by.
racing incident. It's not like they were both at fault or Scotty.
Yeah.
Any, whatever.
The start I thought was going to be chaotic. Other than the green or the Scotty Mac Devlin incident, there was a Prema that went off of Robert Schwartzman, who had a terrible weekend, might I just
Oh, I feel
say.
so bad for him.
But other than that, the start was okay. Like, it seemed okay. And then after the green flag, Callum also, another Prema incident, had like he hit the gravel. I don't really know how that all happened. Oh, you know what? I do. He went into the back of Robert. So Prema on Prema violence, eek.
He got some air with that hit. I
He
remember
did.
seeing, like, he,
A little jump.
yeah, I was like, oh, okay. You're really supposed to keep all four tires on the ground, but okay.
The Penske's weren't really able to make up for their qualifying position except for willpower. He moved up, I believe, 12 places or something of the sort.
Well, he ended up
And
finishing P6, so yeah, and like I know he had such a shit starting position, so
yeah.
like I mean,
Yeah,
Willpower's
he did.
an incredible driver, not surprised.
Yeah, he did well. And then I also do recall Rasmussen also went up about 5 or 7 places. He had a really good race too, from based on his starting position. So that was good for them. Pato kept the lead for the entire race, pretty much.
Pretty almost the entire race.
Almost the entire race.
And I mean, same with Christian Lundgaard. Like, he m managed to hold his own. Like, we know that,
About
like,
it now.
we, sorry.
You can talk about it now if you want.
I mean, there's really nothing much to talk about. It was just like Alex Palou is an incredible driver. And he had such a beautiful overtake, like pass over on Pato to secure P1 and finish the like win the race. I think
Well,
just
before that, his it was his battle with Lundgaard that was even more exciting. He passed Pato within 2 corners, but when he was battling with Lundgaard, it was a good
yeah.
5, 6 corners that they were taking the lead back and forth, or taking second back and forth from each other. It was like really, really exciting to watch.
Well, I think that just goes to show, like, we know Alex Palou is such an incredible driver, but like again, Christian Lundgaard can hold his own. Like, it was it kind of reminded me a little bit of like Max and Lando from last year. There were a few parts when Lando was really fighting for a position like with Max. And no matter who ended up like ahead, it's just good racing. And like you can keep up with one of the best drivers on the grid, like that says a lot about you. And so even though Christian Lundgaard like did all the magic, like he finished P3, still an amazing like finish on the podium. Him fighting alongside Alex Palou, in Indy champion, IndyCar champion, like I don't know. I think Christian Lundgaard's first win with Arrow McLaren is going to come soon.
Yeah, I think so too.
But yeah, and then his overtake, Palou's overtake on Pato, was just a. It looked easy. Like, do you know that he made it the way he did it made it seem like anyone could just do it. Like, Alex Palou is such an incredible driver. It's just.
And he was able to build a gap like very quickly as well. So that was great. And then they ended up catching some traffic actually near the end of the race. And that's when I thought, so at first it was Callum, and then they got past Callum, and then they were, so then you hear Arrow McLaren radio into Nolan, and they say you have the 10 car behind you and the 5 car behind him. So they're essentially saying
Slow him down.
you need to slow. Pato's coming. Do what you can to defend Palou. And he actually did what he did, I would say. Now he had 2 cars in front of him. I don't know off the top of my head
Think
who
Malakas
exactly.
was one of them, but I don't know who the other one was.
Okay, so he had 2 cars ahead of him. So, like, there was just traffic, and Pato really wasn't able to catch Palou. He was there, but just not enough. But Nolan was playing a team game. I did appreciate that from him. So,
Well, I also like that in IndyCar, you don't have to move out of the way for the drivers coming up behind you. Like, I love that about IndyCar. It just
yeah,
adds to more, like, it just makes it so much more interesting. It's like, no, I'm actually gonna slow you down so my teammate can catch up. Sorry.
Yeah, I love that. But other than that, like the race went out for almost half, or almost, I'll say almost 10, 15 minutes. The race was completely out. I switched. I was watching the hockey game. That was like I mean, I'm trying to give Fox space, but
Fox
like
just lost the broadcast. I
they
don't
lost the broadcast. They lost the radio. They lost everything. And I don't know. And that was at one point when Pelo had actually passed Pato, and then Pato had passed him again. So like it just kind of was like a little bit of a disaster for Fox this weekend again, even though it seemed really good up to that point. Also, they got rid of all those stupid cartoon things that y'all hated. So I don't know if they will ever see those again, but I didn't hate them, but you know, there was lots of chatter. So the timings were a lot better. Today during the race, there were a little bit of some issues with the
The timing
order,
screen.
timing screen, the order. Just was there was a couple times when like VK was over top of somebody else, but you know, it's fine.
Race two, they're working out their kinks.
Yeah,
Be
working
okay.
out the
Maybe next race we can watch the entire thing.
Yeah, that is look, like I will say, like I am giving them grace for a lot of like, and you are too now for like a lot of like the little things, but like losing the broadcast completely is kind of crazy. So I
That's
don't know.
embarrassing on you.
I mean, like F1 broadcasts are from China, so like I don't know.
Can you hear that?
No, do you have a dog?
Yeah, that was just so loud. Okay. So loud. Anyway, do you have any more notes about either race?
I don't think I do.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
I don't think I do.
I love a double header. We now have 2 weeks until Japan.
We will be here waiting. I'm sure there's gonna be so much more chatter now that F1 has a second. I'm sure there's gonna be lots of chatter about
We'll be here to talk about
everything. We'll still be back next week to talk about it.
I don't have a hyperfixation of the week, but I will let you guys know that I lost some brain cells this week. Lost my keys in my car and also tried to steam a shirt while I was wearing it. Burnt myself. Not my brightest
That's
moments.
insane. No, that's insane.
I literally wasn't thinking, Hannah. I
Like
woke up.
locking your keys in your car is like, okay, like whatever, you forget, like that happens. But like, I thought you would know not to steam a shirt that's on your body.
I wasn't thinking. I was just like, oh, if I angle a steamer this way, and then all of a sudden my chest is like on fire. I'm good now. It's healing. My burn is healing.
You just plugged.
I blame the bleach in my hair.
So you don't have a hyperfixation.
I don't think so. I think I was just trying to get through the week.
You know what? That's how I felt last week. But I do have a hyperfixation. My hyperfixation of the week is the show Cruel Intentions on Amazon Prime. Look, okay, this is not the like draw the factor that draws me to it, but it also does happen to include incestual step siblings. But it's not the reason I'm watching it. But actually, Michaela, are you laughing at me? Because this has happened twice.
I
I know. I
know.
don't
My
know.
fault,
Why is
London, and now
Amazon Prime
this.
doing this?
What's this show called? Cruel Intentions?
Cruel Intentions. Okay. Michaela, She Loves Rooms, posted about it a while ago. It came out in December-ish or like November maybe. And she said it was really good. So I put it on my list. And
Oh my
then,
God, it was a movie.
so it was a movie. I am going to watch. So I watched the show yesterday. I watched 7 episodes. Today I watched, oh no, yesterday I watched 5. Today I watched 3. So I've done the whole 8 episode series, and I'm gonna watch the movie tonight. So I will come back with a review of the Cruel Intentions movie next week. I don't think the movie is as incestual, but I do think that it is as spicy. So we shall see.
That's actually really funny because the actress in it, Sarah Catherine Hook, she's also in White Lotus,
Yeah.
also with some weird sibling
Yes,
stuff going
also
on.
with a literally, I forgot about that because I love White Lotus too. And I've been watching it religiously,
Yeah.
obviously. And you're right, there is an incestual aspect of those are biological siblings. That's even worse.
Yep.
You're right. I didn't think of it.
That's the same actress
Look,
too. That's funny.
I think that you actually would enjoy it.
Probably.
I'm obsessed with it, but not that part.
Okay, watch the movie. Let us know your thoughts.
I will. Okay.
Okay,
I will.
so this is a recap of Track Talk's first doubleheader, Chinese Grand Prix, and Thermal Club.
We are Track Talk.
Catch out for now.